So, my name is Robert Browning, working in conjunction with the Reuther Library at Wayne State University. Today's date is August 25th, 2021. This interview is with Jesse Sands, and it is about his experience living through the COVID lockdown in Wuhan, China in early 2020. At the moment, Jesse is located in New Zealand, I will say. this interview is being recorded remotely and will be housed at the Reuther Library, which is part of Wayne State University. The Reuther Library will keep administrative information about this oral history project, such as interview releases and deeds of gift, in its case files. Case files are in a locked, non-public area of the building, accessible only to the Reuther Library staff. In the event of a criminal investigation or legal discovery proceedings, the Reuther Library will be compelled to turn over holdings in its case files that are otherwise closed to the public, including the case files for this oral history project. All right. So, to begin, are you connected to Wayne State University in any way?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
All right. It's just a standard question that they ask me to ask.
Okay.
In the very beginning. Again, just to be clear.
Yeah.
And are you originally from New Zealand?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And you are now located there?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Are these a simple yes or no questions? Or,
yeah, yeah, basically.
Okay.
And so I know you lived in Wuhan for quite some time. Could you tell me like how long you lived in Wuhan?
Sure. I think all up was about 15 years.
15 years?
15, yeah. Yeah, I originally moved to Wuhan, and I think it was about August 2006, mm-hmm. and worked there, lived and worked there full time until July 2021.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Just recently.
About 15 years. Yep.
So when you left, or maybe I could just ask you, like, when you, during the lockdown, which district were you located in?
I was living in Wuchang.
In Wuchang.
Mm-hmm. Just behind, in Wuchang, in the Hongshan district, I guess, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Just behind the Wuhan Normal University.
Mm-hmm.
On Shunshu Dada, Shunshu Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Right. So like what do you do for a living, or what did you do for a living at that time?
At the time I was working at a English training center for young learners,
mm-hmm.
like for primary school kids, and yeah, I'd been working there for a couple years. I think by the end it was like I think it was like 5 years, so it would have been about 4 years at that time, 3 or 4 years.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Okay, so like what did you do anything else apart from teaching?
In general. I used to DJ,
mm-hmm.
Back in the day, but that kind of stopped the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of just done that maybe just occasionally whenever something is happening, so just a couple of times a year. Mm-hmm. And apart from that, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nothing particular.
Okay. No problem. So like that's just like some very basic bio information that I ask. So now I what I usually do is I go into the like basically like when everything kind of started or just before everything kind of blew up. And I just want to begin by asking like when did you first hear about the coronavirus? Do you remember?
So, me and my wife, we got married in New Zealand originally, September 2019. So it was like just before COVID hit. And we had a wedding in China, in Wuhan, on the 5th of January 2020.
Oh, wow.
And we had so it was, well, just when it was all starting to go down. And I think the first time I heard mention of it was our mutual friend. He had mentioned worries that, like, well, there was some disease going around or something, and he wasn't quite sure if he could make it to the wedding, though he did in the end, which was great. I know. Kind of heard rumblings, like around then, but nothing really. And it wasn't until like a couple of weeks later when it all really started happening, then I kind of noticed.
Maybe just heard saw some things online about, some news items or something.
No.
No.
Kind of, I've been off kind of offline for the from that kind of stuff for a while, actually.
Oh,
So it
okay.
would have been just like would have been just like, I don't know, friends kind of mentioning things offhand or something.
Okay. All right, so what did you think like when you first kind of heard about this the like COVID?
I was back in China. I was in China when SARS happened. Whenever that was like, what, 2003 or something. And that wasn't anything. No, yeah. And I kind of, well, I mean, but that wasn't anything. That was nothing really came of that. Nothing really affected me or anything that I could see in China at that time. And so I kind of expected, well, COVID, oh, it's just gonna be it's just it's gonna be another SARS. It's gonna be in the news for a couple of weeks, and it's just gonna blow over. And yeah, not gonna be anything. And so yeah, I was not worried, and I was just ex completely expecting, well, things to, well, just continue on as normal, really.
All right. So like so you had the wedding ceremony in Wuhan on January 5th, correct?
Yeah,
Oh, okay.
yes.
So like and that was really just before like maybe about a few weeks before the lockdown began. So like basically do you remember like what was going on, what you experienced like between your wedding ceremony and the actual lockdown? Like I mean obviously you don't have to talk about private stuff here, but
Oh yeah.
like
Of course. What started to happen? I guess the rumblings grew louder, and stuff actually started to close down. I remember, what was it? Me, I forget exactly what day it was, but it would have been just a couple of days before the lockdown, which was like, I think on the 20th, right? Was the lockdown the 20th?
The lockdown was the 23rd.
23rd. Okay. So it would have been around the 20th, or it was like, yeah, a little bit earlier, maybe. Our cat got sick, and we had to take her. Well, had to take her to the vet, and So yeah, we yeah you know, got up in the, me and my wife, we got up in the morning, went downstairs, called a cab, jumped in the cab, and on the way there, I was like, it's probably like, yeah, probably around 11 o'clock, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, talking to the taxi driver, and he was like saying, yeah, well, once 12 o'clock hits, all the taxi services are all closing down. And well, we're like, okay. Yeah. And so that's, and then, yeah, so that's when we took the cat to the vet, got that issue solved, and we couldn't taxi home. We had to get a little scanner, little e-bike, and it was freezing, and it was raining, and yeah, so it was a rather miserable ride home.
Right.
But yeah, I was on that day that, like, yeah, stuff really, really closed down, and like for the next week at least, there were just no cars on the street at all. Like, there was just no traffic. No, everyone was staying home, and yeah, it wasn't until I think my community, like our community, shut down, like went into quarantine a little bit later than a lot of other communities. So it would have been, I don't know, yeah, 20. I'm just gonna say something like 20, 26, 7 to 8. Okay. And so, yeah,
that does seem a little later.
Yeah, just like a couple of days later. And so, like, we could actually, I went, me and my brother, who was who'd come for the wedding, and who unfortunately decided to just spend some time with his big brother for a couple of months. Yeah, well, we went out. We went to hang out, and it was gorgeous. I had a push scooter, so a little kind of kick scooter, which I took out, and an e bike, and yeah, we went for a ride all the way to Hanyang, because there are no buses or anything. It was like in the middle of Shunshu Avenue, under the big elevated road. Just the entire way, and it was just the entire road was ours. And there was like, yeah, there was no one walking around. Just, yeah, didn't see anyone. It was a couple people. Yeah, and yeah, I was really nice. That was a wonderful day, very peaceful.
I can imagine.
My friend, his place hadn't shut down yet either, so. Yeah, we managed to meet up. We're just hanging out in the park. It was very peaceful. I think at that time the bridges were shut down, and they had not blockades, but they had checkpoints. Okay. On the bridges for cars at least. For pedestrian traffic, they didn't care because there wasn't any. Yeah. And so we got through just fine. And yeah, and then a couple of days later, our community shut down, locked down, and then the quarantine began.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Could I just stop you for a moment and ask you like a couple follow-up questions about what you just said? Basically the night that you learned about the lockdown and you could not take a taxi home, you said you had to like grab an e-bike.
Oh yeah. Well, it was
not
the night. It was like in the morning. In the morning, like the taxi there.
Yeah.
And then like on the way back, we had to like, well, they have like a, what are they called? Like a, not ride sharing, like those public bikes.
Yeah.
Which you can scan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, so they got the bicycles, and like they also had like a, like e-bike versions of those, which we, which we got, and we kind of rode home on, yeah.
Okay. All right. And like your kind of trip to Hanyang, and you and your brother and your friend were kind of motoring around the empty streets, right? This was before your lock this was before the lockdown in your community began, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure at that time I would say like at least half of the communities in Wuhan would have been quarantined, would have been like yeah, lockdown.
Okay. So like your situation is a little unusual in the fact that like the lockdown started a little later, it seems,
Yes, yeah.
than other parts of the city. So like when the lockdown in your community began, or the quarantine, whatever you wish to call it, began in your community, what did you do? Like what did you do? What were the immediate challenges?
Think, yeah, well, I think we knew the lock, yeah, we knew lockdowns, yeah, we knew lockdowns were happening, we knew it was going to happen to us, so we managed to, we did manage to go to this, we managed to make one supermarket run, like 2 days before, 2 days before the lockdown happened. And yeah, we just, well, just bought a whole bunch of just bought food and supplies and everything. I managed to snag some coffee, which was my primary concern throughout this entire experience,
Of course.
whether or not I was going to run out of coffee. Yeah, and yeah, like I remember wife's parents. They were like, yeah, well, you gotta prepare. You're gonna have to make sure you get enough food and everything. And I was never particularly worried about it. Like I'm well, I was didn't think there would be like well, anyone would start starving. There'd be a way to people would be getting food somehow or another. And yeah, and so yeah, like yeah, no, I wasn't really worried, wasn't really worried or concerned about anything except it's whether or not I had coffee. And it was certainly an inconvenience being locked indoors and not being able to go out. But I mean, hey, we had the internet, and yeah. And we had all my toys at home, so well, it's all right.
So like is your wife you from Wuhan?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
She's from Wuhan. Like her pretty much all her family's in Wuhan. Other end of town though, like in Tsingshan district. Yeah, we didn't. I don't think, yeah, we didn't see them for a while, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, we didn't see them for half a year at least. Yeah. Yeah, we kind of
Amazing.
kept in touch, right? Had the WeChat groups, right?
Yeah.
And so yeah, thanks.
So what about you, like your work situation?
So my school, my training center, like most others, well, we obviously couldn't have classes. Nothing could happen, and so we kind of like the first, I don't know, guess we had a it was like a, we had an extra month's holiday. So I was already what happened? Yeah, so. Think yeah, I remember now. We had a winter camp until the 20th. So I was working up until the 20th, actually.
Of
And I
January.
was yeah, in January, I was here, yeah, 20th of January. So like it was like just after my wedding, like 2 weeks of classes. So I was going on. I was still fairly business as normal. And then we had like 2 weeks holiday lined up for the new semester happened. And then no one knew what the situation really was.
Right.
And so like the new semester didn't start obviously, and just like I think a lot of the teachers, the Chinese staff at my at the center, they kind of kept in touch with the students. Kind of saying, yeah, just doing like just like video chats with the kids, like kind of chatting with them and everything. And it wasn't until maybe a month after that, so it would have been like 6 weeks after the quarantine started, that our school made the switch to online classes.
Okay.
Which was not quite as fun as teaching in person. But
of course.
Yeah. We got by.
And so that went the online classes went on for how long? Do you remember?
Until the end of quarantine, I think. Until would have been about. I'm gonna say all through June, probably.
Right.
Probably ending the beginning of July. Might have ended like soon after we could actually start leaving the community. So I had a couple of weeks of classes after that. Once actually.
And so were you the only foreign teacher at this training center or your company or?
No. We had two other foreign teachers with us at the time. Everyone.
And they stayed in Wuhan and what have you.
None of them had gone home for the holidays. Which was, well, turned out to be a very lucky thing later on, considering both of them were American. So many teachers at that time, so many foreign teachers, left China to go home for Christmas, right? Holiday, last spring festival holiday, and then. Never saw them again. They got stuck back home. They couldn't come back to China.
I mean, I knew foreign teachers who, you know, they went on holiday after that semester. You know, like they traveled to like Malaysia or Thailand or something. They couldn't get back into China.
I knew teachers who were like stuck in Hong Kong for like weeks or a month more, and like paying outrageous rates, well, Hong Kong rates, right? Because they just couldn't get back in.
All right. So anyways, I think it seems like you were fairly relaxed, like during the lockdown, during the whole lockdown. Did you ever have like other feelings? Like, were you bored?
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, that's all right. Well, going into the lockdown. We're all good. We're all fine. But like, eventually, of course, the lockdown did start to wear us down. It started to wear me down. I mean, I had my first mental breakdown Well, not mental, emotional breakdown. Some maybe a month in, something. But that was only, I don't know. I was only like partly, like COVID was only partly to blame for that. It's mostly just like other ignored stress and ignored stuff which kind of built up. But to be honest, like during the lockdown, day to day, well, it was fine. We had the internet, right, and binged computer games, binged TV series. Kind of just distracted myself.
Yeah,
didn't really. What did I do? I kind of did a bunch of yoga. During the lockdown, because it was me, me and my brother. We were all just kind of stuck in the house together, and we each had our own areas, basically. I was in the living room, but I was in the living near the router. I moved near the router because I needed to. Well, that's where I needed the internet, and also for teaching. And the internet got really, well, the internet in China has just always been patchy.
Yeah.
And teaching online was very inconvenient to have the internet, like, what's it, slow down or drop out. And so I kind of moved over there, and like I had my desk there, and like I'd kind of set up my, you know, all my stuff in there. My wife, she was in the dining area. She had like a, well, her own desk, her own table there. She'd have to be doing whatever. She'd be doing her drawing or painting or art or just watching TV, anything, right. Yeah. And then my brother would be in the spare room, in the second bedroom, and then we'd just be in our little areas like all day. I made like a meal every day. I'd make like a meal for everybody every day. I got some because for the entire time, all we could get was just very Chinese vegetables.
Right.
Because what happens? Everyone in the community, they were like, yeah, they started groups of what are called, like basically group buys, like buying vegetables from, like, I don't know, from different sources, like someone knew, I know, like sources of vegetables or meat or fish would come up, and then like everyone would get together and like order, I don't know, thousands of quail vegetable, and then they all get split up amongst the community.
Right.
Yep. And because there would be obviously food coming in from somewhere, and yeah, it was pretty active in those groups. She'd be organizing. She'd be organizing big vegetable buys or big fish buys or whatever.
Right. It was all
just very basic stuff, right? And it was all the regular dishes that Chinese all the regular vegetables and stuff that Chinese people cook. And so I started cooking just frying vegetables, just stir frying vegetables and stuff. And so yeah, once a day, I'd fry a couple of dishes. We'd kind of get together, eat, maybe watch a movie, and we'd kind of disappear back to our own little areas.
Right.
Yeah, and that was it. We didn't really hang out that much. I think while we're all kind of dealing with being stuck in the same area,
Right.
or stuck in the same house in our own little ways.
Sounds like you kind of like developed a system of like giving each other some space to an extent, to an extent.
That's basically what it was. We couldn't go downstairs, but and luckily we had the roof, actually,
Which
because
which which?
we're on the top floor, which is the
Okay.
seventh floor, and so
Seventh
we
floor.
could actually go up on the rooftop, and there's got a kind of little area there, which was nice.
Where did other people go up there? In the building?
Occasionally. Didn't see them. Didn't see too many people. I think most. Actually, I th in our unit, I'm pretty sure half the apartments, at least half the apartments. I think it was everybody on the right side for some reason. They had all gone home, or gone somewhere for Spring Festival. And so yeah, so there weren't actually that many people in our unit. And so yeah, then I saw some people like there's like something like they I know one person at least had a little garden up on the roof. They grew like shallots and like other nothing too serious.
So like,
Yeah, that was the
right, like, let me see here. Was there anything that you missed during the lockdown?
Consciously? No, I mean, not. I don't. Not really. But I remember the first day, our first outing. And we like yeah, me and could me and Trista went out. My brother couldn't, but that's another story. And we went out. We met. Did you ever go to Devils?
Me?
Where it was yeah, it was Devils after you were there.
Yeah, a few times.
Okay, a few times. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like there's a whole bunch of people from the Devils, the Devils Brewery, and like well, a whole bunch of like the customers and well, staff. So like there's a whole bunch of people. Yeah. We all went to the. We went to the East Lake, and I remember it was gorgeous being out and out with people, and when it was just so it just felt like so this like burst of joy whenever saw friends who well used to see them every week, right? And yeah, and it was just what it does like it's overwhelming happiness to be out and talking to people. So I think yeah, definitely think definitely unconsciously missed going out and talking to people and just hanging out.
So like when did this outing, when did this outing occur? Do you remember this? It was, you said it was like the first time you went out, right?
I really should have looked up this date because yeah, it's kind of like, but no, I don't know, don't remember.
Was it after the lockdown or?
Oh yeah, no, well, for us, okay, for so eventually what started to happen, I can't give any dates, but Chinese people started to get like green codes, so they could, so basically that it was just like a kind of thing that kind of I was connected to their WeChat, connected to their Shenzhen, so their ID card, right? Which basically said, well, haven't been sick and haven't had any symptoms for the last 2 weeks. And so then they could start going out for like an hour a day. They could like show that to the like security guards of the community, and then they could go out. And for foreigners, for us, we it was at least a couple of weeks, at least 2 or 3 weeks after the Chinese people started getting their green cards, that we could actually we could get a green card as well. We all had passports, and well, passports didn't work with that, but eventually, like Chinese government, I guess they provided a way to do that. So I know I would say like probably mid-June. So it
So
was a very nice summer day.
actually for foreigners, like the it was kind of like getting out after the lockdown came a little later, I guess, right?
It was very frustrating. It was very annoying. I remember. Well, actually, no, this is kind of unrelated, but I remember wanting to get out and wanting to get out in the beginning, because I mean, Chinese people generally kind of could. They could kind of sweet talk the security guards like early on, and but I couldn't. And well, we're I was I wanted to go to the supermarket and I wanted food, so I just kind of jumped the fence and went to the supermarket.
Okay, so
It's kind of just around the corner.
so you snuck out, basically.
But that was yeah that was that was that was early that was early on. They kind of got a bit more serious after that, so didn't attempt it a second time.
I want to ask a little bit about your brother. How did he handle the lockdown?
Well, think it was just fine. He's to be honest, he spends most of his time at home playing on his computer anyway. And so, he was perfectly fine. He had his computer. He had his phone. He just kind of just on the internet the entire time. Like we didn't really have. Don't think the entire time. No, we didn't like. He barely made a peep. And even like between me and there were like very few conflicts. Like yeah, we just, yeah, we just kind of kept mostly kept to ourselves. Just kind of, yeah.
So like but earlier you also talked about like maybe you were being dramatic about it, I don't know. But I just wanted to follow up on it. But earlier you were talking about like having like kind of like an emotional breakdown. Could you
That was fun. That was
could you tell me more about that? Unless it's like personal or something.
No, well, yeah, it is personal, but well, it's, I guess, well, it's this. what this whole interview is about, really. I don't remember what was the straw that kind of made it happen. But yeah, it's like first one. Cause I had a major one and a minor one. All I remember looking back on it now is, and I just feeling like this completely just overwhelmed. Not by anything in particular. And it's kind of I've been processing it a lot since then, because it was obviously something was up and something needed to process. And I remember is just being overwhelmed, I can't handle this, basically just going and hiding in bed and just fucking having a very torturous crying, because that was my first time crying in since I was a kid, basically.
Right.
I think my body had almost forgotten how to cry at that. that was so hard. And yeah, that's kind of head in bed for a couple of hours. I think then maybe a few weeks later I had something similar. One little lesson note, I think. I think me and arguing about something minuscule.
Right.
She went up to the roof to get some space. I was doing the dishes, and I was like, fuck, I can't do this. Smashed the cup and went and hid in bed again.
So it's like you just reached a point where you just kind of went and had a good cry by yourself or something like that.
Well, I wouldn't say good cry. It was I'm overwhelmed, and just kind of went and hid and just kind of waited for it to pass, basically. But to be honest, I think that was mostly unresolved stress that I hadn't been dealing with. Because I hadn't been looking after myself for a little while.
Just stress in general, or
it's kind of not looking after myself, and just sitting at home. Because those things like being able to go out. Whenever you want during the week, being able to go out and socialize and get drunk and high and whatever. It just made things easier, right? Whereas when all you can do is sit and stew, kind of crept up on me.
Understandable. Completely understandable. When did you return to work, like in person?
Would have been
kind of
Oh, wait, no. Oh. Sorry, no. I remember now. Actually, online teaching, the actual online classes, I remember now, continued until August.
Okay. Wow.
The online class actually, they continued all the way till August. Because well, yeah, because they obviously still couldn't have any classes, even though like the quarantine had kind of ended. Well, eased up at least in July, and yeah, so like class actually it began again September, like yeah, in person classes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And what was that process like? What was that like for you, like going back to work in person?
No, I was just back to work.
Okay.
I was just back to work. It's like, oh yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, certainly better than teaching online. But I know I was already a bit tired of teaching kids by then, and so, well, yeah. So, all right, well, just back to work to the, what is it? Actually, the grindstone. No, it's not actually, whatever that is.
Okay, so like, that was kind of a big jump from your emotional breakdown back to work, but like I'm kind of work just kind of working through these questions as I can. A lot of, some of these interviews, like it's just natural to kind of jump around a bit. So like like in your community or your circle of friends or like family, like maybe even your wife's family, anybody that you was there anybody that you knew that got sick? No. None.
No one at all. Yeah.
Wow.
Even till now. No one I know has actually gotten COVID. Well, that we know of anyway. Like some a bunch of friends were saying like they got like a serious cold back in like late 2019. Like would have been like around December when the virus was actually would have been spreading, and they said like, well, that might have been it. That well. That they didn't get sick enough to go to the hospital in the past, so yeah, I guess kind of lucky in that regard.
Very good. Okay. So like there's another question about the lockdown that I needed to ask you. And that is like all throughout like the lockdown, it's from what I've read, like there was this feeling where I guess like it felt that it would never end, right? Or the end date was always changing, right? Being pushed further back.
I don't know. I didn't really. I didn't really get. I didn't really worry about that and stress about that. Never really thought. Yeah, never really put too much. Put too, sorry.
It's okay.
No, distracting me again. Yeah, no, I never kind of put any thought into that. As I was always, I mean, I was always going to end at some point. I was annoyed, and yeah, well, I got very annoyed by all the Chinese people being allowed out of the community, but foreigners not being able to. But yeah, kind of, yeah, always kind of assumed was it was going to end at some point. So it's like kind of never, yeah, never stressed about that.
Okay. All right. So, like, I mean, you kind of talked about, like, again, this is j kind of jumping ahead here, forward in time, I guess. You kind of talked about, like, how you felt when the lockdown ended. Like, the first thing that you, like, I guess,
First outing,
yeah, the first outing. And so let's see what else here. I think I only have like a few questions to ask that remain really. So like yeah, like I have just a few, maybe less than a handful of questions to ask. So like since the lockdown ended, how have things changed, for you personally, even in China? I mean, I know that you're now in New Zealand and you're not in China anymore, but like, you know, basically since the lockdown ended and, you know, since you, like, basically between the time the lockdown ended and when you returned to New Zealand, like what changed? In your opinion.
Well, during the lockdown, there was certainly an uptick in like, what they just call it, nationalist propaganda, in the Chinese media. And yeah, and I remember, for the first time in the longest time, actually, during the lockdown, actually, I encountered like, well, I remember just this was, so I guess towards the end when I could actually leave the community. One time, yeah, going out of the community, like, it's just some random dude from my community is basically, he said the equivalent of a fucking foreigner. Yeah, which was surprising, because, well, that's not something I had encountered in, well, many, many years in China. And so there was like, yeah, this, and kind of since then, it's kind of been going, it's I mean, it's kind of been going on in the background. There's like, definitely, it's been like a, like an anti, it's kind of anti-foreign sentiment. It's kind of definitely picked up, kind of definitely, yeah, definitely picked up in China. Didn't really directly encounter any more people being just like, oh, just blatantly racist. Apart from that one time, but there was definitely just the kind of the way people viewed things. Yeah, no. I mean, Wuhan changed. Wuhan changed. Wuhan, like, I'd say half the small businesses in Wuhan, like they all shut down. And like a lot of people, they did, yeah, a lot of the shop owners are just like, well, this quarantine's gonna, yeah, it's gonna be going on for a while, and so they just closed up shop, and just gonna say like, yeah, fuck it, I'm not gonna, and they just kinda gave up. They kind of gave up on their rent, gave up on their spaces, and yeah, it's kind of. And well, since then, in the last year, there've been like a lot of small new businesses are well, they're appearing, because they're a lot of the old ones are like, oh, they're either gone or moved, and so that's, I don't know, that's kind of neat. I think as long, yeah, as long as the economy holds up, so it's a whole brand new day for a lot of young, what entrepreneurs,
Entrepreneurs,
yeah,
yeah.
entrepreneurs, that's it. Well, face masks obviously were obviously a thing, and Wuhan was especially vigilant when it came to COVID. Even after, even yeah, once quarantine had opened up and everything, people, I get yeah, people were still wearing masks. I mean, I'd say even at the lowest point, which I would say would probably be when is the lowest point of face masks? I don't know. Even at the lowest point of face masks, I'd still say 50% of people were still wearing face masks. Like, whereas like in other places, well, I'm not gonna say all other cities in China, but pretty much most other cities in China, they kind of eased up quarantine and face mask and everything. Just like, even just like a month or a couple of weeks into the whole thing. Like, I mean, yeah, because well, Wuhan was locked down for like 3 months. Like, I know, like Beijing was only like Beijing, Shanghai were only just a couple of weeks. Of course, well, they had their own problems because of that. But even now, well, especially now, because well, with Delta kind of re-emerging and everything, yeah, like everyone, they were like, everyone was wearing face masks for a long time. Whenever I went out maybe twice since the lockdown without a face mask. Maybe, yeah. And yeah, everyone is wearing face masks. And yeah, everyone still does.
Quite different from over here.
Well, that's another issue, isn't
That's
it?
another little story. All right, so like I guess I feel I should ask you like what brought you what made you go back to New Zealand?
Well, several things. Yes, yeah, I got tired of teaching. Wanted, I mean, did the math, and I figured I'd been working full time for about 15 years. It was about time to take a break. And yeah, I mean, I guess like the what we call it, the I just love the not the anti well not going anti foreign but the net well the nas na the nationalist nationalistic idiocy, I'll call it inanity, is yeah. So I kind of got tired of that, got tired of the particular Chinese version, and so I was like, you know, it's time to get out. And yeah, so as I was finishing up my contract, I was like, you know what, like either I can stay here for another 5 years, get into something new, or get out and get something, try something new. And yeah, anyone decided to get out.
Okay, that's completely understandable. I think I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's about it. But just one last question though, and that is like, is there anything else that you wish to share? Maybe something that I maybe missed. Maybe something that you want to add to.
I think I had a couple of anecdotes. Remember, did like me and a bunch of the other devil's crew, and just the other, I'll say the regular regular drinkers. We did like a online drinking one time,
Mm-hmm.
which was a bad idea because I didn't have any alcohol except like, oh, yeah, like and absinthe and cheap wine and it's, oh yeah, like I was terribly sick the next day. Oh yeah, that was unpleasant. Yeah.
Had to be worth it, though.
Oh yeah. It was a good night. It was fun. It was good. It was good hanging out with people. Yeah, everyone started. I know one big thing. Everyone started growing vegetables at home. Like my wife, she what did we grow? She well, she so she tried growing like she started like cutting up potatoes and stuff, kind of planting them. But yeah, like we used shallots, and yeah. And that was well, one thing that worked. She tried growing a whole bunch of stuff, but yeah, I remember it's like across the way. It's like he's well, you see everyone else's balconies. Like they'd be like growing peppers and stuff, growing all sorts of nonsense. And like yeah, there are people on the first floor of my community, of our community, that kind of already established kind of vegetable gardens. I'm sure. Yeah. Well, they got fresh veggies every day. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, no. I think
No.
I got most of the exciting things.
Yeah.
I covered them. Well, I'm not so exciting, but still.
Right. Okay. Thank you for doing this.
Nice.
And I greatly appreciate it.